and so all Israel shall be saved. I'm sorry, Singapore, but all Israel shall be saved. And that promise is one that God gave, and he blinded us Jewish people, according to the Apostle Paul, also in Romans chapter 11, so that you could come to know who the Mashiach or the Messiah is, who, of course, now in Hebrew we call his name Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And so it's a privilege to be able to be back here at St. Andrews. I've been here before and with Pastor June, and it's very interesting because your bishop used to come and visit my pastor in a congregation I attended in the United States of America until God had me move my family out of the United States, and that was clear back in 1973. But the bishop, Bishop Chu, he knew origami. And our pastor would invite my wife and my two young daughters and I to come to dinner when your bishop came to visit and to speak in our congregation. And he would start telling my daughters a story at the dinner table while he's working with the paper, and they're all, you know, and they say, "Papa, what's he doing?" I said, "Just watch." Just watch. And then he would bring forth something really beautiful at the end of it. And so I feel I have a link with you here going back many, many, many years. And so my privilege to be with you today. I would like to speak to you out of the 36th chapter of Ezekiel. And if you have your Bibles, you want to turn with me. Now, I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. And it may be a little different than, I know, than what was on the screen. But Ezekiel 36 is a very prophetic chapter in the Bible. And it begins by God speaking to the prophet Ezekiel, saying, "Prophesy to the mountains of Israel and to the valleys and to the rivers and the different things," because God had a specific reason for what he was going to do. And what is happening today that you read in your newspapers goes clear back to this chapter in Ezekiel. And God is fulfilling what he had Ezekiel prophesy. It's a very interesting day in which we live. Now, I was a young man. I was 18 years old. I went off to university. And in the first 2 months that I was there, I was at my desk studying one night, and somebody walked in my room and began to speak to me, and I could hear his voice exactly as you can hear mine. I turned around and looked to see who it was. I could see nobody, and I thought, "Oh no, I'm having a hallucination. What's going on here? Who are you?" And this voice would ask me questions that had to do with eternity. They were eternal questions. And I had no answer. And the more he talked to me, the more afraid I became, because I realized that somebody was talking to me that knew exactly what he was talking about, and I knew nothing. And then he revealed himself to me, that he was the son of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that his name was Yeshua HaMashiach. And I said, "Jesus, oh my goodness," I was shocked and startled. Salamat. No, that's fine, right there. Very good, thank you. And so I was, I came to a place where I said, if you are the Son of the Living God, if you change my life tonight, I promise you I will follow you all the days of my life. And he changed my life, and to the best of my ability, I have tried to do that. Now, one of the first questions Asian people usually ask of me when they start to talk to me is, how old are you? And the year was 1957 when I gave my life to Yeshua. I was 18 years old. Now you can do the mathematics and you can figure out that after one more birthday, I'll be 80 years old, okay? And by God's grace, I still am able to move around. I have a prosthesis, so I have one leg, but God has given to me someone to help me to be able to navigate. I was in 16 nations last year, 9 of them here in Asia. I've been around the world twice this year. I'm still got a couple of times to go around the world. And, you know, having only one leg slows you down but does not stop you. And by God's grace, he allows me to continue. And the reason that I travel so much is because exactly of this chapter within the scripture. And God continues to speak. Why are the mountains of Judea and Samaria so important to God? Because that is where he promises he is going to meet with the Jewish people once they return to Israel. That's where salvation, that you know, if you've accepted Jesus, you already know God blinded us Jews so that you could come into salvation, but the day is coming. He's going to remove the veil from the eyes of the Jewish people. And Iris is here from Jerusalem. She's a wonderful dear sister, believer in Yeshua. And there are getting more and more of us. We're, you know, we are coming to know him also, which is a sign of the end times. I wish I had time to go through the prophetic scriptures to tell you how important that is. All I can tell you is this: whatever you're going to do together with Jesus, you better be doing it now because he's coming soon. Now, then God speaks as you go through the 36th chapter, and he said, but you have profaned my name to the Jewish people. And because of that, I am going to throw you out of the country. But as we look at Ezekiel chapter 36, and God, verse 6, he says, therefore prophesy concerning the land of Israel and say to the mountains, the hills, the rivers, the valleys, thus says the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and my fury because you have borne the shame of the nations. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I have raised my hand in an oath that surely the nations that are around you shall bear their own shame. But you, O mountains of Israel, shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they are about to come. And exactly what is happening right now is the return of the Jewish people to Israel. After 2,000 years, we have no land. And God promised to our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a land. Yes, we were thrown out because of our rebellion, but God promises the day will come. I will return you back to Israel, and you're living at that time right now of what God is doing with allowing us Jewish people to go back home to Israel. Why? Because God is preparing for not only the salvation of the Jewish people, but we'll see in a moment, also means salvation for the nations. It's all tied with us Jewish people going home. If you believe in evangelism and you want people to come to know to Jesus, then pray for the return of us Jewish people to Israel, because God's promise to the nations is, when I take you Jewish people home, I am going to move by my spirit in the nations, and they'll come to know that I am the Lord. What an exciting day we live in. Some people, I don't know, they say, I wonder if God's doing anything today. Well, God happens to have an enemy, and we also happen to, we have an enemy, and he doesn't like this. And so he thwarts and tries to stop and do everything he can so that God cannot fulfill his word. And so we have this little family conflict that going on in the Middle East. It's the oldest family conflict of the whole earth, of all peoples ever been. You see, the Arabs are also my brothers and sisters, but we're half brothers and sisters. The Jews and the Arabs, we have the same father but different mothers. And so we have this great family conflict that goes on. And God loves them just as much as he loves the Jew. But he has chosen the Jewish people for very specific reasons to show the light of God to the nations so that they could come to know who Jesus is. And so then he's made certain promises, and God is keeping those promises, and it's upsetting the whole world. Everybody gets so upset. Just let a rock be thrown in Israel, and it'll be on the news every 5 minutes. But 500,000 people in the country next door, Syria, going to be murdered, and nobody says one single thing. Now, something's wrong when that happens, and that's the day we live in. 500,000 Syrians have been killed in that war that's going on there, and who cares? But, oh, my goodness, let a metal detector be put up in Israel, and the whole world goes crazy. It's the inequality of things, the way that people see it. Why? When God's for something, Satan, of course, is against it. And he tries to stir everything up. But I read the end of the book, and it says, God wins. Don't you love that? That means you're going to win. He's going to bring you through. I don't care what is any problems you have or anything, God will bring you through. And so God has promises for the Jewish people. And then God had spoken clear back in the Torah, the book of Genesis. He started with Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, and he said, in you and your seed, all the families of Singapore shall be blessed. Well, that's what he said. Well, all the families of the earth, that's including you. And then he renews that with Abraham's son, with Isaac, in the 26th chapter of Genesis. And he said, in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God has made a promise to bless all families of the whole earth through the Jewish people. And Satan hates that. Let's do everything we can. We've got to defame Israel. We've got to defame the Jewish people. We've got to change everything. And he gets so irate. Well, and God continues to do his work. And it's so amazing to me to see what God is doing, because he is taking us Jewish people home according to his word, exactly as what we read at the end of verse 8 here. It says, For they, my people, Israel, they are about to come. Well, now we're coming. Because God has this wonderful plan. And so when we drop down and we look at some of these verses, we already read them today, but I want to look at them again real quickly, beginning in verse 19. So I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the countries. I judged them according to their ways and their deeds. Yes, because of our rebellion, God spread us to the furthest parts under heaven, according to what he prophesied to Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 30, the first six verses. But God began this even back with Jacob in the 28th chapter of Genesis, because when God renewed what he had given to Abraham, he had given to Isaac, when he came to Jacob, he says, Jacob, your people will be spread to the north, the south, the east, and the west. And indeed, that happened because of our rebellion. But God's not going to leave us there. And so, in verse 20 here, we read, and when they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned God's holy name, and they said of them, these are the people of the Lord, and yet they have gone out of his land. Verse 21, but I had concern for my holy name. It wasn't the concern for the Jewish people. It was for his own holy name. Why? Because he promised something to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he has to keep that promise. And that promise is, in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed, including Singapore. And in order for that to take place, God has to do certain things with the Jewish people. So he had, for his holy name, that he had concern. Verse 22, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. You see, we Jewish people deserve nothing, absolutely nothing. You say, oh, they're God's chosen people. But they deserve nothing. But I ask you a question. What exactly did you deserve? Where were you going before you met Jesus? You weren't going to heaven. You deserve nothing. It's by God's grace that we are here today, even to lift up and to talk about Yeshua. It's only his grace. None of us deserve anything. But God doesn't leave us there. He sees. He sees everything of where we are, what we're going through. He feels every single hurt that we have ever suffered, every pain from any sickness or whatever. He's right there. In verse 23, he says, I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And in verse 23 here, now this is where it involves the nations. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord. That's end time evangelism. That's when the nations have opportunity to come to know who Jesus is more than they've ever known, ever in their histories. And I'll give you a case in point in a moment. But what is going to trigger this? What's going to happen? What's going to be done? What is God going to do? He says, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you, the Jewish people, before the eyes of the Gentile nations. When he is hallowed before your eyes. How many of you ever prayed this prayer? I'm going to tell you, you already prayed it today in the service. Aveinu, Bashamayim. You might say it this way, our Father who art in heaven. How many of you ever prayed that prayer? Huh? Well, what's the next phrase? Hallowed be thy name. Is that right? When Yeshua is teaching his disciples of how to pray, there is a way that our Heavenly Father is hallowed. And here is one of the major ways that he is hallowed. And he says right here, now, the translation that was given did not use the word hallowed, but the Hebrew does. And when it says, when I am hallowed in the Jewish people before your eyes. It's what? Well, we got to continue reading, verse 24. For I will take you, the Jewish people, from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. When I return you, Jewish people, to Israel, in front of the eyes of all the Gentiles, I will be hallowed, and they will have opportunity to come to know who the Lord is. And he takes us home to Israel so he can meet with us on the mountains of Judea and Samaria. It's God's plan. It goes clear back to the very, very beginning. And God is fulfilling and keeping his word. I hope you're thankful for that. God loves you so much that he allowed you to come to salvation. And he blinded the Jews so that you could. But now it's the turn for the Jewish people. And God says, now I want to bring salvation to you. And so he's taking us home. Why? So he can meet with us. So all Israel will be saved. And so we're on our way home. Well, the term that the nation of Israel and the government of Israel uses for this return is called Aliyah. Aliyah is a Hebrew word, and it means to go up or to ascend. David used it in the Psalms when he said, let us go up to Zion. We make Aliyah to Zion. We go up to Zion. And when you read the 2 Chronicles, the last chapter, the last word of all of 2 Chronicles is in Hebrew is the word Aliyah, to go up. And it's throughout the Bible, this word is, and it's Jewish people going home. So they've used this word for us to return, and we're going home. I was a businessman in the United States of America, and God delivered me from the curse of work. And I ended up moving my family to the nation of Germany in 1973. And I went to a city that no Jew ever wants to go to. And my Jewish friends, when they found out where I was going, came up and spit in my face and said, you traitor. The city was called Braunschweig. Another man went there, and his name was Adolf Eulois Schnickelgruber. And Mr. Schnickelgruber was not a German. He wanted to become a citizen of Germany. And he went to the fathers of the city of Braunschweig. They allowed him to become a citizen of Germany, and he changed his name to Adolf Hitler. Now you understand why no Jew would have wanted to go there. And that's where God says, you move your family, my wife and my two daughters and I, 1973. My children were 5 and 7 years old. We didn't speak the language. We knew nothing except we heard from God. And he said, you go to that city. A city of where 6 times Hitler came and pronounced in a place called the Bergplatz of the annihilation of the Jewish people off the face of the earth. Right in the hotbed of how the devil wanted to destroy the Jewish people, God said, you move to that city. Very difficult, I have to tell you. But God began to move, and things began to happen. And in August of 1974, 43 years ago this next month, God, by his grace, allowed me to see a vision. I'd never had a vision before. A whole wall became like a gigantic screen. And on the screen, I saw faces exactly as I see your faces here today. But they were all Jewish faces and multitudes, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of them. And then I saw the nation they were in. It was the Soviet Union. Remember, in 1974, there was a Soviet Union. one of the two superpowers next to the United States. And they were persecuting the Jewish people and putting them in prisons and in the gulag system in Siberia and all the persecutions of things that were happening and going on. And I saw these people, and then I saw God send to the authorities of the Soviet Union men, and they prophesied. And they said, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go." And the authorities said, "No." And God judged the Soviet Union. And I saw the judgments that were going to happen until that nation came to its knees, disintegrated, broke up, coughed up the Jewish people, and they got on airplanes and ships and went home to Israel. And that's what I saw in the vision. I said, "Lord, that's wonderful. Wow. Well, what's it got to do with me? So what?" And the Lord said, "Because I want you to go to the Jewish people in the Soviet Union and tell them they're going to have an exodus. I'm going to take them home to Israel exactly as the exodus happened at the time of Moses and Pharaoh. I'm going to deliver them out of here, and I'm going to take them home." I thought, "Dear Lord, have you ever heard of a secret police called the KGB? I don't think they would be too interested in somebody coming to do that." And I said, "Lord, do you know a place called Siberia? That's where the gulag prison system is. They would send somebody there if I want to do what you asked me to do. But if you show me in the Bible and you go with me, I'll do it." He did, and I did. 64 places in Scripture, I saw exactly what I saw in the vision. And so I began to make my trips into the Soviet Union. And I got so many KGB stories, I could keep you here till Jesus comes. But God always delivered me out of them all. And some of them are pretty hilarious. So I continued on. Well, in 1983, by God's grace, God allowed me to write a best-selling book. And the critiques of it in the Christian community, some of them weren't so very good. One of the largest Christian magazines in the world did a review of the book and said, "This man says he's a voice crying in the wilderness, and that's exactly where he ought to stay. It will never happen." Another said, "This man fell out of a tree and landed on his head." Well, I said, so we continued. We persevered and went over and over again to the Soviet Union and took prayer teams and different things. And then 1990, and all of a sudden, what happens? The whole Soviet Union collapses, and the Jewish people are allowed to go home to Israel. Those who were kept as prisoners in the Soviet Union, today we have over 1.4 million Russian-speaking Jews living in Israel today. Because God said, "I'm going to take you in front of the eyes of all the Gentiles, and those nations will come to know that I am the Lord." So God, in His mercy, takes us home. I'll give you a case in point. I've been back to Russia, Ukraine, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Stan, and the former 15 republics, and some of the biggest churches I've ever spoken in the whole of my life are in the former Soviet Union. What happened? As soon as the Jews began to go home, God allowed Bibles to go in. Evangelism went forth, and millions and millions and millions of people gave their heart to Jesus. Exactly as Ezekiel said, is going to happen. It's happening today. It's one of the great reasons God is taking us Jewish people home, is so the nations can have evangelism and their people to have opportunity to come to know who Jesus is. That's why I say, if you are interested in evangelism at all, pray for the return of us Jewish people to Israel. Because God says, okay, and he'll release evangelism in the nations. And I could give you so many other things. But the interesting thing is, with a dear friend, he was a Swiss man that lived in England. His name was Gustav. And Gustav, I'm walking down the streets of Jerusalem on a certain street called King George Street. And as I'm walking down the street, and I hear somebody calling, Steve, Steve, you know, and I turned to look, but I didn't recognize anybody. And I turned back, started walking. He says, no, 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 you don't know who we are, but we know who you are. We need to talk to you. And this man and his wife came to Jerusalem. I was living there with my family. And came and he said, I've got to understand about this vision God gave you. And so we brought him into our home, and for 10 days we sat there and went through all the scriptures and everything. And he just absorbed it all. It was quite amazing. And then one day he brings me a stack of papers, and he said, give me $1. I said, what? Give me a dollar. I said, what do you need a dollar? Give me a dollar. Okay, so I give him a dollar. And he takes a dollar out of his pocket, puts it on the table. He says, now sign here. I said, what's this? He said, it's our papers of incorporation for Operation Exodus. We can charter jumbo jets and charter big ships to bring the Jewish people home. I said, what? And our capitalization is $2 U.S.? He said, yep, that's it. And that's all we have. But God was leading and guiding us. And I could go and I could show you. If you want to read something interesting, read the 60th chapter of Isaiah. Because Isaiah, chapter 60, verse 8, he says, who are these who fly like clouds? See, Isaiah had never seen a jumbo jet. He's trying to describe the Aliyah, the return of the Jewish people to Israel. The next verse says, and with the ships of Tarshish, they shall come back home. And by ships and airplanes, the Bible has spoke about, they would come home. And it ended up, we started chartering jumbo jets. And our first ship was almost 230 meters long, quite a large ocean-going ship to bring the Jewish people from the Soviet Union home to Israel. And what an adventure it's been, and to say the least. I mean, I could give you a multitude of testimonies of the faithfulness of God. And then they get home to Israel. One day I'm in Jerusalem, and I'm walking down the street, and a man runs up behind me, grabs me, and spins me around and kisses me on the lips. Now, that's a little strange. But I knew he was a Russian, because that's how the Russian men greet each other. They kiss on the lips. And they just ate a ton of garlic. Anyway. And so this guy, I pushed him. He said, you brought me on the ship home to Israel. But I found the Messiah after I got here. Exactly as God says, you Gentiles, take him home to Israel. Then I will meet with the Jews there. And salvation started coming. And we've seen this happen on quite a number of occasions, actually. What an exciting day we live in. To see God fulfill his promises that he promised. Not to us, only us Jewish people, but to you. I guess you can tell I get a little excited. I may almost be 80, but I get excited when I see God doing something, and then he says, come on, son, just come along and watch what I'm doing. And he lets me, I have my youngest grandchild now is 11 years old. and my others when they were young and everything, they always wanted to come. And they say, Papa, what are you doing? I said, well, come on, help me. It'll take me a little longer, but help me. You know, you have children or grandchildren, and you want to include them in what you're doing and to show them the ways and the things so that they can be self-sufficient and they can do the things. That's the way I am with my Heavenly Father. He doesn't need me. He could do it by snapping his fingers and it's all done. And woo-hoo, here comes the rapture chain. Let's all go home. But it doesn't happen that way. Because he has chosen to ask us to cooperate with him and what he's doing in these last days. So I take that as a very precious invitation. Lord, what can I do? You're doing it. We're seeing it. And from all over the world now, from France, from the Ukraine, from just go on and on and on, from South America, from South Africa, from even the United States of America, and more Jewish people are saying, hey, the only safe place for us Jews is in Israel, even though there's a war going on over there. But did you know it's safer to walk down the streets of Jerusalem than it is the city of Chicago or Washington, D.C., who sits and criticizes and everything about Israel? The city of Chicago itself had 3,600 homicides. One city. What's so safe about that? Yeah, there are problems in Israel. But the Lord God of Israel, he knows how to straighten them out and how to involve us together with him. That's why it's so exciting, the Messianic movement in Israel, as the Kehillas, they're called, the congregations, they're growing, getting bigger and bigger. I mean, some are very small and meet in the living rooms of maybe the pastor's house, but others, there's others that have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Jewish people. It is wonderful to see God keeping his word, both with Jew and with Gentile. Hallelujah. If you've never met Jesus, and you've never invited him to come into your life and admitted to him that you were a sinner, it's very simple to do. You just have to humble yourself and say, Jesus, forgive me. And he will. And you become a child of God with a whole new life for eternity to be in front of you, for him to come and to nurture you, and you walk in discipleship with him, and you become everything in God that he has wanted his children to be. And if you're a parent and you got a child that obeys you, doesn't that make you happy? But boy, when they're rebellious, you're just, you know, we got to give a little correction here. And my children, they didn't really like the rod of correction put to the seed of knowledge. But it worked. And God does the same with us. So if you do not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, I suggest you do not leave today till you humble yourself and invite him to come into your heart and to ask for his forgiveness and accept that he paid the price on the cross that you could have eternal life. And just receive him. Hallelujah. Aveinu, Bashamayim, Bashem, Yeshua HaMashiach, Toda'el. We bless you, we praise you, Lord God of Israel, the Holy One of Israel. Lord, different words were spoken here today. We've sung, we've done different things. Would you seal what you have done by your Holy Spirit? Anything that was of me, let it fall to the ground. But anything inspired by your Holy Spirit and from your word, I thank you for letting that seed germinate and bring forth a wonderful crop. Bless your people, I pray, Father. Would you bless them and keep them so that, Lord, that they could become everything in you that a child of God is to be. Hallelujah.